Blog Talk Radio.
To the Most High. Thankful to Him more than I can begin to tell you, my brothers and sisters, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Welcome to the show. My name is Edim Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I call this show Hidden Gospel Revealed because we choose on this show, thankful to the grace of the Most High, even the appointment and declaration of the Most High, to speak about things here that most will not. The Most High has told me, quite frankly, that I have some very important things for Him to do. He said, because of what I must do for Him, I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He said to me that as long as I do for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and guidance. I'm thankful for this, because it means He's going to tell me on awful lot of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful concepts and revelations. He said to me that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could from the dawn of human fall to hide, deny, pervert, and destroy. Yes, this will be and always will be, as long as it's being broadcast, a very controversial show. Because indeed, I'll be speaking about things that, shall we say that most have either chosen not to see, have not seen, or have not put together enough of the facts to draw, let's just say, so absolute a set of conclusions, as many of which you will find voiced upon this show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for offering me your ear this night. And I pray the Most High shall place His Spirit upon you to make it easy for you to digest the preponderance of information that we shall speak about this night, that we might all come to one line of reasoning. For this is the purpose for which the Most High gives His Spirit. Last night, we had a little bit of technical difficulty, and I wound up having to kind of shift up things a little bit from the way that I actually wanted to arrange the show. But I would only say to you, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to bring something to a very sharp statement this night, so that if I didn't otherwise get a chance to say it, I'm going to say it now. And this might sound like a very sharp thing to say. However, it needs to be said. And this statement is simply this, that by the Holy Spirit can only be manifest a holy nation. By the working of the Holy Spirit can only unto a world filled with so much debate, doubt, and confusion, division, sins against oneness with Yah. And let me tell you something, every single system of this earth that brings forth separation from the pure, perfect will of Yah is sin. And let me repeat that. Man, in order to repent unto the Most High, must repent from everything that separates him from the pure, perfect will of the Most High as it was from the beginning. When you read the scriptures, for instance, when it says, repent ye, O my people. When you read the scripture, it says, comfort ye, O my people. The concept that must be understood that was there is that the only way man could repent or return unto the will of Yah is that he must, according to the very definition of each of these words, nachem, the Hebrew word, metanoia, if you want to use that, the Greek word. Both, in some respects, relate the concept of man, if he is to be made one with his Creator, one with his brother, and one unto the Creator, repenting beyond all that is sin, all that separates man from Yah, all that separates the people of Yah from being one people. If man is going to repent of his sins, sin is separation from Yah. If man is going to repent of his sins, then man must return into a higher conscience than was before the separation and the divisions, political, social, religious, pseudo-religious, came to be. Understand what I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters. The concept, for instance, of this word comfort or repent, in a context of the way it's related in the original text, relates the idea about telling the people of the Most High that they must prepare in the coming of the kingdom, in the coming of the King. They must prepare. Listen to me. Must prepare to have their consciences, even their minds, their thoughts raised. Prepare to have their mentalities, their spiritualities, their spiritual senses exercised at a level as never before. What I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, is that it's impossible for man to become one in mankind to become one, or people to become one in the will of Yah, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, the flesh, in its both its carnality and its lack of vision, its selfishness, and let's just say self-centered and selfishly ambitious orientations, does not have the power to either perceive nor to harmonize the mind to reason at a level that the scripture says, when it's going that appeases what the scripture says, when it says, come let us reason together. Come let us reason together, let us reason as one. And it talked about the idea, if you do this, you shall eat of the good of the land, though your sins be like scarlet. In other words, the divisions among people bring about much oppression, scarlet like blood, should be white like wool. What it means, talking about the idea about bringing all consciousnesses of all men who are true to this spirit, bringing them to one consecration, one reasoning, made a holy people. Holy means pure, pure after the mind of the Creator, true in all things unto the mind of the Creator, seeking to be true to all that is the will of Yah, and all that He has spoken, and all that He ever will decree as a design, as a point of focus, as a goal, as a common expectation and a vision. If you understand that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Yah, then the Holy Spirit can only build in the heart a place and a preparation in the heart according to the vision of Yah unto the manifestation of the holy people. The Holy Spirit cannot one truly touched by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, cannot ultimately preserve the uncleanness, the iniquity, or the lawlessness, or the faulty foundations of any nation that was not founded in the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the matter, according to the scriptures, since Abraham, the only nation founded in that spirit, according to the promise. Promise that by the Holy Spirit would also be redeemed, restored, and made one. That nation is Israel, the true Israel of the Most High, the Israel that is prophesied according to all scripture, shall be restored, regathered from the midst of all nations, called out from the pollutions, the ungodliness, the faulty foundations of every nation, to be made a holy nation once more. Let me repeat, the action, the working of the Holy Spirit can only bring forth a holy nation. How can people even believe that by the working of the Holy Spirit that they can be left double-minded, plural-minded? Remember, consider the book of Jacob, James. He spoke to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. And the word for scattered abroad means scattered among the Gentiles, scattered in the diaspora, scattered among the Gentiles. He said to them, if any of you lack knowledge, lack discretion, a sense of absolution, because you scattered among the nations and the influences of the nation, of the various nations, he said, let him ask of Yah, and ultimately it means ask of him beyond all doubt. For double-minded, look at the word double, doubt. Look at the resonation of both words. Debated. Left to debate, DBT, DBT, DBT. Debate, doubt, doubled. It speaks of how if any man is left, per se, unstably double-minded, seeking to serve more than one master, then it said, let him ask of Yah. I repeat, let him ask of Yah. For a double-minded man is unstable. I repeat, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I repeat, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. No man can serve or be true to two masters. Did you hear me? No man can be true to two masters whose wills are opposed. It simply is not a possibility. Therefore, we have to understand that since the Holy Spirit is true unto one, even the will of the one Yah, when the scripture speaks in the context of Yah is one, so must also be his people. Holy means consecrated purely unto the will of Yah and the pure and perfect will of Yah. How then shall men say that by the Holy Spirit there shall be many nations? How shall men say that by the will of Yah, by the pure will of Yah, that men could retain the pollutions of another of a people that were not founded in the mind of the Spirit? It simply is not a possibility. Therefore, what needs to be understood, my brothers and sisters, is what's written in Revelation 7 when it talks about the angel from the rising sun sealing the 144,000, 12,000 each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the scriptures speak about the idea of men being sealed, I repeat, sealed in the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? Men being sealed in the Holy Spirit. That that it means that only by the Spirit of the Most High can a people be drawn back from the midst of all nations to be made one. Let it be understood that Israel, it's impossible to manifest Israel as a nation till first she realizes the lawlessness, the wickedness, the false standards, the pretentious standards that all nations among the Gentiles have been established upon. Israel must realize what is the foolishness, the folly, the pretentiousness, the illusions, the lies, the false sense of righteousness that all nations have been established upon, all present nations have been established upon, that she can become a holy nation. I repeat, in another way, let it be said that only when Israel knows that she must overcome the world can she be saved. My people must overcome the world, my brothers and sisters. I didn't say join with worldliness. I didn't say join with a multitude of diverse standards, but must overcome a multitude of worldly standards. The reference point that is of old must be restored. For Messiah will come saying, behold, I'm the Holy One of old. And for all those among the tribes of Israel who had worshipped after the constraints or the ideals of other kings, he should say to them, you did not revere me. This, my brothers and sisters, is a very powerful, powerful concept to be understood. For as it is written, Messiah will come, Malachi 3 and 4, to reprove wherever the priests have been. Look, 2nd, 3rd, 3rd, and 4th. Reprove wherever the priests have been partial in the law, wherever they've been polluted after the ideals of Gentile nations, foreign nations. He says he's going to purge out those priests, that they may be offered unto the Most High an offering as of old, as in righteousness, appeasing to the Most High as of old, as in former years. He said to restore the heart of the fathers, the patriarchal fathers of Israel. And it says that this Messiah must do, lest the whole land be smitten with a curse. Malachi 4. Realize then, my brothers and sisters, what these scriptures are saying. That since the scripture says that Abraham was a man in the flesh, Romans 4, Abraham was a man in the flesh before Yah called him. What it absolutely means ultimately is this, that Abraham, in order to walk perfectly before the will of Yah, a spiritual being, a supreme spiritual mind, an omniscient, holy one, for man, he as a man to walk before him perfectly, full according to the purpose for which the Most High created mankind. It was necessary, certainly, that he be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Scripture speaks about the act of circumcision, Genesis 17. And it was the act of circumcision ultimately that Abraham might bring forth children compelled after the spirit, not after the flesh. Yes, after Israel came out from the midst of Egypt, the scriptures relate in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were all baptized under the same cloud. Baptized under the same cloud, the same testimony, the same spirit. And they all followed the same rock, and that rock was the Messiah, even Yeshua himself. Let it be understood, my brothers and sisters, in the context of these. The scripture says all the prophets of Israel spoke by the spirit of Messiah that was in them. And yes, we do understand the elect choosing of the Most High, that when a people falls away from the truth only by an atonement, can that spirit be restored? Well, let me tell you something. That spirit was restored first into the tribes of Israel that came back from the midst of many nations in the east on Shavuot at Pentecost, at what they call Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, a feast wherein Jews scattered from among the nations came back to Jerusalem as a point of reference, a Hebrew reference point, that they came back together, that they all might be drawn together to understand the ways of Yah on one accord. And they were given a reference point, my brothers and sisters, even a reference point that was given them, and that the apostles, the disciples, were anointed, the disciples of Messiah, Yahshua. For there's needed a point of reference whereby the atonement might be recognized by all unto one conscience, unto one righteousness. Let it be understood, my brothers and sisters, that that is not merely what happened in years before. But since the world has fallen again from faith, powers of perdition from the world entering into churches, having, as the scriptures say, institutions called the second beast, if you will, churches that were still yet worldly, by no means capable of appeasing the point and the purpose of a church, having horns like a lamb, speaking as a dragon, saying that they are Christian, but still speaking the ways of those who sought to persecute the early church, even murderous against the early church. Rome, Western polytheism, my brothers and sisters, has nothing to do with the mind of the early church of the East. That was very monotheist in all its expectations. So much about this to be understood. But I need just a moment to be able to check something out just for a second that I must do. And I will be back in just a moment to speak more about this, perhaps in about a minute. Give me just one moment. Again. Phew. Quick moves. Thankful to be able to make them get back in one piece. Moving rather fast. But we're back again. And I know I may have said some things that sound quite shocking to a lot of people in the listening audience. But realize this, my brothers and sisters, the spirit that was upon Abraham that made Abraham a holy nation. Yes, I said made him a holy nation. Scripture says through Abraham's seed shall all nations be blessed. And by the Holy Spirit, Abraham was able to walk before the Most High in a manner pleasing, that his children should also do the same. true unto the will of him who is one. All this, my brothers and sisters, must be understood, that the scripture says it plainly in the book of Galatians. It says you belong to, they said Christ there. Oh, there's so much to be understood about the origin of that word. And those who understand it and understand it well, understand why the scripture talks about in Revelation, about the angel from the rising sun who seals 144,000, 12,000 each of the 12 tribes of Israel, saying, do not hurt the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, to seal the servants of Yah upon their brows. Those who understand the real meaning of that word will understand why that understanding that the Hebrew word for angel is also the word for king, king of the east. I would suggest going to Isaiah 40, comparing what's Revelation 7 to also Revelation 14, also going to Isaiah 40, going into 41, particularly the 41st chapter, and realize what it means when it talks about one called the righteous one from the east. The nation shall surrender before him. He gave him dust, driven dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. The scriptures relating the idea that he calls forth Israel. In the Aramaic, I'll give you an example where you can find this text, but in the Aramaic, the Hebrew Aramaic, it relates in Isaiah 40, it talks about, but now Israel, you are my servant. Some people, when they see the beginnings of the destructions among the nations, the weakening of the strongholds of the nations, they're going to seek to rebuild them. But Israel, on the other hand, will realize that there's a problem. And they seek instead for there to be a rebuilding of anything of what is holy. And in 40 and 8 it says, but thou Israel, thou art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. In the Aramaic, it says, thou who I've taken, you are those who I've taken from the ends of the earth and call thee from the ends of the earth. Get the point? The Aramaic says, from among the prophets, the inspired men. Remember in the book of Joel, it says, your young men shall in the last come to pass in the last days, young men shall see visions, old men dream dreams. That is a calling, my brothers and sisters. That's even a calling by the Spirit. They say, I pour my Spirit upon all flesh, your men servants, your maid servants. First, my brothers and sisters, to redeem and recreate Israel. Because it's by the Holy Spirit that the law of Israel was first given to the descendants of Abraham. It's by the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, that Jacob, received a blessing for his children. It is by the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, that Yishak, Isaac, was even born. Remember the scripture. I can show you scriptures that relate the idea that Abraham and Sarah, in their very old age, brought forth Yishak as a symbol, ultimately, of the promise of the Most High, that though Israel might be, as a people, might be scattered among the Abraham's seed, might be scattered among the nations, they would one be redeemed, even though once nearly dead. A remnant restored. There's so much, my brothers and sisters, concerning this to be understood. As I said, the children of Israel were never, children of Abraham were never be a children after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And though they were scattered among nations, divided without a reference point for many ages, scriptures always prophesied the coming of Messiah as a reference point that those who had faith in him might be redeemed. But redeemed under what? According to what does it say in Malachi? He shall restore the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest the earth be smitten with a curse. What do you think this is about, my brothers and sisters, on the day of Pentecost? What do you think the scriptures speak about when they speak about it in 2 Thessalonians? They're talking about a falling away from the faith before Messiah returns, for the powers of perdition, the powers of this world, the wicked rulership of this world would enter right then amongst the church. Church no longer an institution of redemption. If you corrupt a holy covenant, it's no longer a covenant, nor is it holy under Yah. Scripture says that ultimately Messiah will come in the last days to expose this corruption by the spirit of his mouth. But it said, in the meantime, those who believe in a lie shall be damned. Let it be understood, my brothers and sisters, what this is talking about. That scripture in Revelation 7. I said Revelation 7 speaks ultimately concerning the fact that the Most High will establish an ensign in the earth to call out to his people to the four corners. We're the four winds of the earth. Messiah said in his coming, this is exactly what he do. He lift up his voice. His angels slip a voice like a trumpet. There's the sound of a trumpet. What does that trumpet declare? Look at Isaiah 57. Declare unto Israel his iniquity. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare unto Israel his iniquity and in Yaakov his sins. Israel his sins. But according to Isaiah 57, what is the sin of Israel? But having been intermingled after the pollutions of Gentile nations. According to the Aramaic, Messiah even declaring that those who went after the ways, worshiping after the constraints of Gentile nations, that they did not revere him, that he is the Holy One of old, and that they who went after the ways of these nations, wherever Israel was scattered, had not revered him. The people of Israel cannot be scattered amongst all nations under the constraints of many differing kings, and yet be true to him. The spirit of promise is not unto bringing forth many differing descendancies, but one. Scripture says that through Abraham's seed shall all nations be blessed. That means made one. And again, by that spirit, he said, are you the sons of Abraham? If you belong to Messiah, are you the sons of Abraham according to the promise? Romans makes it plain. He said, if you, in point blank in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, it is related that if a man has not the spirit of Messiah, I repeat, if he has not the spirit of Messiah, he is none of his. Again, Revelation 7, Revelation 14, finally Revelation 14, talks about the 144,000 of the tribes of Israel. And it's talking about many nations following after them, after Israel is consecrated first as one. Romans 1:16. Understand, by the Spirit only can be created Israel. A recreation of Israel. A restoration of Israel. The Holy Spirit does not recreate a nation after any faulty foundation. And the truth of the matter is all the so-called constitutionalities of all the nations of the earth having found themselves in some respect on plural concepts of righteousness, or some fallen state of unrighteousness established by men, none of these nations were established purely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. What men today call religious freedom, freedom of expression, if man were a disciplined person perfectly after the power of the Holy Spirit and the pure, perfect testimony of the Holy Spirit, the holy testimony of Yah, there would not be a multitude of diverse ideologies. If men truly knew Yah, the debates and the doubt and the confusion and the plurality would not exist. In fact, it'd be recognized as irreverence, not worship, but curses against the holy name. The Holy Spirit cannot curse a holy people. It can only bless them and make them one. The problem that has existed is that men have not known, and I've said this before, what is the foundation upon a foundation of what they must seek in the Holy Spirit in order to be blessed. Men have said they confess the name of Yeshua. And some say the pagan name. Actually, it is actually pagan. It has its origin in paganism. They took the name Yeshua. A name which relates in its initial vocable, very similar to that of the one called Yahashua, the son of Nun, successor to Moshe, who brought Israel again through and out from the midst of many nations, or even out from the midst of Egypt, through many nations, to become a consecrated people under Yah, that conquered those nations wherever they passed. That Israel might claim the land of promise, the land upon which the Most High said he would bless that land and his people by his spirit, that it be ultimately, scripture even promised one day, a goodly land for his people to dwell in peace forever. So let it be understood, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit of promise, the land of promise, all a matter of the Most High and his oath unto his people, the consecrated people as one. In no way twisted, contorted, polluted, perverted in any way after the ideals of any other nation, any other patriarchy, any other conceits of men, the men they may call gods. Again, my brothers and sisters, let it be understood that till we are one as a people, till Israel is one as a people, we are not yet saved. We are not yet delivered. We have not yet become that holy people. An ensign must be raised according to the scriptures. A point of focus must be raised, even as it was such that Israel was seen, or Jerusalem in particular, was seen a threat to all nations, having an imperialist otherwise agenda. For all they who were devout unto the cause of Israel, families from the midst of all nations, came to Jerusalem in a Hebrew environment, though we understand at the time it was, let's just say, a satrapy of Rome, a nation under Roman control. Still, the idea was that they came to Jerusalem under the auspices of a much more Hebrew environment, that the feast days of the Most High might be kept true unto the will of Yah, seeking to be true unto the will of Yah. There's a reason why Paul, Shaul, oh, the Most High never changed his name from Shaul, said, "The well is any man beguile you after the principles of the world and not after Messiah." No Gentile nation can declare how to keep consecrated the holy feast of Israel, that were consecrated for the express purpose that Israel might be preserved as a people throughout all generations, and ultimately that Israel might prepare for the great expectation of being regathered from the midst of all nations. And to understand what I'm saying is very obvious. Look at Zechariah 14. It says that once the king, Messiah himself, rules from Jerusalem, it shall come to pass that all the nations that will not come to Jerusalem to keep the feast to worship the king shall undergo a curse. There was a reason why Jerusalem was seen as a threat to all nations, because as long as there was a stronghold of the idea of the faith of Messiah, having a strength from Jerusalem, then his people had a point of focus, a point of strength, a reference point, a point of power wherewith they identify the faith. But things have gotten to a point in this world that, though the scripture says through Abraham's seed all nations shall be blessed, though it says by one spirit, Jew and Gentile drawn by one spirit to become fellow citizens of the apostles and the prophets and the saints, there are those who act as if the Holy Spirit came to curse Israel, divide Israel rather than regather her, and no greater sin than this. Rare is a sin greater than cursing the holy name, my brothers and sisters. There is no greater sin, because understand, since Israel must become that holy nation, even Israel must become the kingdom of Yah on earth, whoever would curse Israel from becoming that nation has cursed himself. The Apostle Paul, Shaul, like I said before, Shaul actually was his name, not Paul. Most I never changed it. Said at Romans, my greatest desire for Israel, they might be delivered. Romans 10. Romans 11, later on, he said, and then all Israel shall be saved, and Gentiles be not wise in your own conceits. I repeat, my brothers and sisters, let it be understood what this means. My people must overcome the world. They must see beyond the corruptions of this world, the pollutions and the false righteousness of this world, in order to become one. For as long as the people of the Most High are the people who claim to be the people of faith, I repeat, as long as the people of faith trust in the corruption, any of the corruptions of this world, there is no salvation. There is no healing. There is no healing. To manifest what the prayer is, what they call the Lord's Prayer, which says, our Father who art the Most High, hallowed, holy be thy name. Holy must be also then his kingdom, and let his kingdom come. Let it be manifest on earth even as it is in heaven. Let it be understood, my brothers and sisters, there are those who understood that the kingdom of heaven, that is the promise of the saints, is that which must be established at Jerusalem. And all nations have sought to control that nation, to control the idea as to what is acceptable at that land. Because whatever nation control the traditions and ideals of that land could compel other nations to believe that those standards or that standard was viable unto the Most High. Don't dare think, my brothers and sisters, that the nation that you see overseas now, consecrated or made one by the so-called League of Nations, League of Gentile Western Nations, monotheism, my brothers and sisters, bringing back people of all different ideologies, could dare to even think that they could bring back and manifest a holy nation. There was no guard, no filter, nothing to stand against the pollution of the nations coming into that nation. So we need to understand that the Messiah himself must do it. In fact, the scriptures say in Isaiah, in the 11th chapter, that he will be raised as an ensign to the nations to gather Israel and to make Israel and Judah one people again, as they were before the coming of King Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Let us understand what the hope of the promise is in the context of what we'll find written in the book of Acts. Messiah spoke about a promise, spirit of the promise given to his disciples, and he said, first go forth to the tribes of Israel. The lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, whereby they went first to the synagogues, and then Gentiles began to hear that word, and many of them came. But understand something, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit could never curse Israel. And the scripture says, point blank, blessed are they who bless her and cursed are they who curse her. Whoever then seeks to ask for this spirit and seeks to see the cursing of Israel is worldly. And the scripture says, the spirit of truth, the worldly, will not receive. Let me tell you something. Gentile nations, we have another vision for in terms of supremacy or in terms of a nation whereby it shall be used as a standard to all nations, the standard of Yah unto all nations. Where any nation seems to set the illusion that it shall be this, when the Most High has already said that Israel shall be established above all the nations, and the law of the Most High shall go forth from Jerusalem. Where any nation seeks to establish another expectation, another sense of what is the gospel, that nation has set itself up as a pretense, a deception, to blind the children of Israel. And that nation, whatever nation has done this, not looking to the fruition or the manifestation of a holy nation made manifest that perceives beyond the illusions of all nations, that perceives the righteousness of Yah, any nation who would stand against that greater knowledge by which, because the knowledge of the Most High covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, any nation who would stand against that peace has set itself up for destruction. These might sound like very powerful words, very defiant words, but I'm only speaking what has been spoken before. The problem is that we live in a world that has not understood this. And most who ask for the Holy Spirit have never understood that they seek to be part of the community of faith. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you ask him to be, what? One of the children of Abraham. The children who are supposed to be after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It's after the flesh that men follow fleshly nations, carnally minded nations. It's after the flesh that men seek plural-mindedness and not an absolute. To ask for the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, as a grace, as a gift, the word for grace, gifts, that same word for also for mercy is also the word of absolution. It's asking for an absolute, not double-minded, not confused, not double-minded confusion. The only nation that transcends all confusion is that nation which Most High says that the remnant of Israel will speak no lies and do no iniquity. In other words, whatever nation or people come to speak no lies and do no iniquity, if they have come to this redemption, they must become Israel. No other nation can they come to be. Scripture talks about that 144,000 sealed of the tribes of Israel, sealed as sons of Abraham. Sure sons of Abraham, compelled unto the pure perfection of all that is divine will. And it speaks about other nations come with them. Scripture says they washed their robes white in the blood of the white in the blood of the Lamb. What it means is that they washed their robes, and robes being symbolic of allegiances. They washed their robes from allegiances to all other nations. They overcame the mark of the beast. They overcame the standards of the nations. The Hebrew word for Gentile, amongst its meanings, is a troop of unreasoning animals which would not reason together. Might sound like harsh words, but look it up. It's right there in your Strong's Concordance. And it will tell you, believe me, when Caper received the visions, go rise, Peter, slave in Eden, he saw a sheet unrolled with all manner of four-footed beasts, and Cornelius, a Gentile, had prayed that someone would come to teach him. He was talking to go forth and tell him to go forth and teach the Gentiles, convert the Gentiles, subdue the Gentile nations, teach them the ways of Yah. What else do you think Messiah will do for the security and safety of his people as a Savior? What else do you think he would do? Read Revelation 14th chapter. And it says the nations that when he sends forth this gospel to restore Israel, to show forth the confusion of all the nations and establish one righteousness. The gospel baptizes, purges out the pollutions of all nations. It tells people that they must learn and be restored unto all things, that there be no breaking of a covenant. Scripture says the gospel will go forth again, Revelation 14. And the nations that seek to uphold the marks of the beast, the standard, the verse standards of the nations, the pollutions of the nations, the partialities and the pretenses of the nations, says they say they shall take the wrath of Almighty Yah. Read for yourself Isaiah 40 and understand who it's really talking about when talking about that angel from the rising sun, the king of the east, the righteous one from the east. Isaiah 40. Read on through to 41. Isaiah 40. Read Isaiah 40 through 41 through 42. And compare to Matthew 12:18. Read on through the 43rd chapter and realize that all that's contained in that 41st chapter has not yet come to pass. Understand that Revelation 16:12, when it talks about the kings of the east, that word is initially, and read that also if you look up in the Aramaic. Go to a website, lamsabible.com, lamsabible.com. It's possible to get a hold to a Bible called the Holy Bible from the ancient Eastern text. It does not relate, for instance, king of the east in a plural form. It doesn't relate king of the Medes in a plural form. Oh, I have so much I could tell you about this. The ancient concept of one who would overthrow Babylon. The word for Medes is also the ancient word Mahdi. But I want you to understand what we're talking about. We're by no means talking about Islam. There was an ancient concept of one who would overthrow the confusion of this world, and they called him Mahdi long before Ibn Abdullah Muhammad, long before the influences of the West to divide the children of the East. Woo, my brothers and sisters, I hope you can understand where I'm coming from. There's a reason why the ancient faith in the name of the church comes from an old word relating to the idea about, well, let's put it this way. The ancient word for Christian was not Christian. It was actually more like Christiania or Christiania. Christiania. Does not relate the same thing as the concept of the Greek word Christ. Look at the word and look at it in the consonantal form. Realize the ancient word for church came from that word, and these are people brought out from the world, not tainted by it. Israel was called out from the world. Israel will be called out from the world again. The true church, my brothers and sisters, the people called out from the world by an anointing, even by an anointed one. So much more I could tell you about this. Some of you are ready for it. Some of you are not. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot that has not been said about that great historicity in the East, from the times of Isaiah, really tell you the truth, right from the times of Noah. Much to be said about what was the common expectation of the people of the East from the time of the Persian king that they called Cyrus, which really wasn't his name. A common belief and expectation that they had, which is why at Luke 1:78 they talk about the day dawns. Let's just say Zechariah, Yohanan's father, spoke of Messiah as the day spring from on high. While they call Messiah at 2 Peter, Caper, 1:19-21, and he talks about, like I said, the day dawn becoming a reality in your heart. Or let's just say the reality becoming a light, like the sun rising of a new day, casting out all darkness in your heart. While Messiah, why it says, for that same word in 2 Caper, 1:19-21, it says morning star. Why for day dawn, a day spring from one eye, it says sunrise. Oh, how many understand that in Jeremiah 23, Zechariah 3:8-12, 23:5, Jeremiah, that word for branch there is also, which the Hebrew word oftentimes is related to semach. The Greek word there is anatole, which is also used for all those cases again. There's much to be understood that the ancient Jew had one concept of a coming Messiah long before the coming of Yeshua 2,000 years ago. And even all the disciples agreed to call that faith by that ancient name and expectation. When they said Christian at Antioch, they first called them Christians at Antioch. All the word was Christiania. You heard it, Shania. Let it be understood that Noah, and then his immediate children, the faithful ones of Noah, were called the Yazidi Kurds. Let it be understood that Abraham himself, I know it's going to sound funny when I tell you there was a Kurd, close to the genetic haplotype to Jew is a Kurd. Well, understand Abraham was a Kurd. It makes perfect sense. Kurd, the Kurti, title of a Lord, or one who carries on the spiritual essence of the faith of Noah. Must be understood about this, why they called the faith what they did, understanding the Eastern mind, and what was a common Persian expectation, that they looked forward to the coming of one called the great king, King of Kings, Shashan Shahi. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I wish I could really just get into this deeply. I got only a few minutes. If I even have the time, maybe perhaps I could extend this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. But there is so much to be understood and realize that the Holy Spirit can only restore Israel. That's just a fact. It will reprove and rebuke every uncleanness of every other nation. Such is the nature of the truth. Such is the nature of the truth. Like I said before, the word church itself is a word. I repeat, the word church itself is a word that comes from that ancient title. How many will understand the ancient concept of what was a church according to that very ancient faith? Only a few will catch on to this in due time. Why it is said that the why it is said that it says talking about the King of the East coming in Revelation 16:4 or Revelation 16:12, and it says concerning this King of the East. It says after that, it said Messiah said, "Behold, I come." After it speaks about the drying up of the rivers. If I can update this to allow a little bit more time, I will do it. And prayerfully, yes, I did manage to. So I'm going to extend this show a little bit. Scripture's talking about the, at Revelation 16:12, it talks about a great earthquake and the cities of the nations fell. There's much I could talk about there. Much I could talk about there. So much. Numbers 24:17-19, star rises out of Jacob. Speaking of the Messiah, Israel shall gain strength. Compare that to Isaiah 41. Keep silent before me, O you isles. Hark to me, O you nations. Let my people renew their strength. Let them transcend all the corruptions of the world. As I said to you before at the beginning of this show, Israel can only be redeemed, can only be saved if she overcomes the corruptions of all the world. For only that will make her a holy nation. In being established upon a pure foundation, will she have the power to keep, preserve, maintain, defend the righteousness of Yah. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I ask the Father for the spirit of truth. With the worldly, those who have other expectation, corrupt expectation, and pluralist expectations of the world, of this world, cannot fully receive, cannot fully accept, will never be able to harness the fullness of that power. To harness fully the power of the Holy Spirit, you must have the hope of the promise of Israel's restoration. And that love in Israel's restoration, having therefore a love to see all nations broken from the spells of misconceit. For it will not be unto many different nations this promise is given. The promise of the Holy Spirit is to make all peoples one. And at the end of the day, they will all be called the Israel of Yah. But the promise of Yah was first to restore and recreate Israel in the earth. That being the kingdom of Yah. And no other heaven is promised to the children of Abraham but that which will be restored at Jerusalem. When the scriptures speak in Isaiah 57:58, it finally is talking about those who will not despise, but to take their authority, the corrupt authority, the idle authority, the vain authority of men from off the Shabbat. Realizing it is the thing consecrated by Yah unto divine authority, a dictate from Yah to man to consecrate the minds of men, not that men should seek to consecrate that holy day after their own vanities. Let me tell you something. He said those people will rebuild the old ruins, restoring Jerusalem as of old as in former years. I want you to understand something. The man you're hearing speaking to you now, I've actually seen the third heaven. And let me tell you something. The first thing that you understand about something so awesome and that beautiful and that perfect, that if you have any respect whatsoever, you would rather say that you would not seek to be a participant in it if in any way you, by your conscience, could corrupt it. Those who have seen or sensed the mind of Yah know that they don't even begin to come to him with their vanities. Those who have sensed what the holy kingdom shall be, and understand carnal eye does not receive that revelation. Those of the world who seek to establish what they would call a higher kingdom after all the diverse ideas of this world will not understand this. But let me tell you something. I've seen something very perfect. And the first thing that came to my mind is that if I could not be granted what is necessary to acquiesce to it, in fact, to be quite frankly, I saw it as something far beyond myself. And I even was willing to say to the Most High that, hey, this seems like, by no means, to be quite frank about it, it didn't even enter into my mind that was something being offered to myself or something that I was being called to. It didn't even enter my mind because it seemed something like something too beautiful and too awesome. That level of synchronicity and beauty and peace and harmony and I saw something far too much for somebody like myself to ever be blessed to even begin to consider or behold or be a part of. And I told the Most High that if this was not a place for me, if it's more than my soul could ever attain, I would ask him, please, still, it doesn't make any difference what happens to me. Even if I were to live the rest of my eternity in a burning hell, it makes no difference. I asked him, since that's the choice, even heaven or hell, it doesn't make any difference what happens to my soul. I asked the Father, I said, look, if you just simply tell me what I need to know to help those people who might be were found worthy of this, wherever they are, since this thing is such a beautiful thing in your sight, and it would please you so much. And believe me, when he showed it to me, and I saw it, I saw, let's just say, and sensed the bubbling of rejoicing and just ultimate joy in his heart, love in his heart, to want to bring forth something that awesome to man. I had to respect it, and I had to love him for it. I can only tell you that I said that if, even if I'm not a participant, I said, if you tell me what I need to tell these people who couldn't be, who can claim this and be that joy to you, I said, if you tell me what I need to tell them, I said, I will do it. I will do it. And what he told me in response to this was simply these words, and I will never forget it. Nobody will ever take it from me. He said to me, if you can say what you just said, and mean it like you said it, my son, it's going to be all right. And I'm going to tell you something. He let me know that if I could say such a word as this and mean it as I did, then he counted me an ally. And let me tell you something. Men can tell you about being called to a purpose. Men can say whatever they will. But there's nothing like having a word directly from him, and not only being getting a word directly from him, but a commission, an absolute directive. And there's no debate, no doubt about it. Because there's not just been one time that I've seen third heaven. It's not just one time I've seen the architecture of what must be on this earth for the Most High to be pleased. And I'm going to tell you something. He is greatly concerned about this planet. I'm going to tell you a secret, something to think about. The whole world global economy, for instance, right now, is based upon oil. Eastern economies are based upon it, as well as Western. Eastern having the supply, Western negotiating, in a lot of respects, the business. Eastern negotiating supply, as I said before. But let me tell you something. They both get together in one World Bank and pull strings. But I want you to understand something. As long as this world economy is based upon oil, the people in places of power are not going to do what's necessary to begin to heal this world. And I can even show you prophecies that in the Aramaic that says that dictate having something to do with this oil situation. Most people find that hard to believe, too, unless I could actually show it to you. But there are scriptures in the Aramaic, in the book of Hosea, that relate to that, too. Relate to that and so much more, so much so that when something actually occurs to change this, it's going to shake the whole planet. Because let me tell you something, something's going to have to shake it in order to save it. The pollutions that come as a result of oil burning are poisoning land, sea, and air. It's warming up the oceans, my brothers and sisters, the cradle of life. It's warming up the oceans. Men are talking about the idea about how much of the ocean faces mass extinction in a very short time for a multitude of different things that are occurring to destroy the environment. Dead spots in the water. Air polluted. Cancer-prone environment. All these things are going on at the same time. Don't you know, my brothers and sisters, that this cannot continue? and that there are so many, so many technologies that are out there that could, let's just say, replace this oil-based system for energy. And I'm not talking about nuclear energy either. There are technologies out there that could replace this, but it would allow too much independency and freedom for people, some have said. Or at least that's what many in power have said. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, Most High has a plan, a very intricate plan to save this planet. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, those who have a desire to save this world, the Most High calls them for it. Those who have a love for humanity and want to see the survival of humanity, want to see this world cleaned up, want this to become the world that the ancients saw in all its potential and all its beauty and its pristineness after the beauty of which the Most High Himself created it, that saw clean water. Oh, I've had many visions in the spirit, past, present, and future. And let me tell you something. The earth has, prior to a lot of these corruptions, been a very, very, very incredibly beautiful place. From a blue water that came up to the sandy beaches, white sandy beaches, and all it did, all the water did was crawl up on the beaches crystal clear. And it goes from crystal clear water where you can see down all the way to the bottom of the shores of the beaches. And it goes straight off into blue water. Nothing else but beautiful blue water. No gray. Beautiful blue water. Beauty, my brothers and sisters. I even remember when I was a little child how it was possible one time you could see for more than 50 miles, because I remember between two cities, being at a relatively high place and being able to see between two cities and see crystal clear from city to city, looking at the buildings so crystal clear you could almost, in fact, could practically see the windows of a building in another city 50 miles away. No haze. I remember being time coming, walking through, driving through the country and going away to California one time. You never look up the sky, and the sky is so clear, and not just the dark, but the sky is so clear that you could see haze of light, gas haze of light around the stars themselves and the galaxies across the sky. That type of clarity, my brothers and sisters, doesn't hardly exist too many places on the earth anymore. And man has done an awful lot to destroy his environment in the last 50 years. Just the last 50 years or so, this has been. I want to see the world brought back to that beautiful Eden-like place. That when the ancients saw it, they saw it as an inheritance of something beautiful. If they were to look at this today, they'd be utterly shocked at what the earth has become. Since the, let's just say, speedy increases they call it, what they call it in technology, since roughly around the 60s, and the things that began with oil becoming more and more used around the turn of the last century. They call it technological advance, but how ruthless have they been, who cared not at all, I repeat, who cared not at all for the fact that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world they that dwell therein. And the kingdom will be given not to a people who are bent to destroy, but a people who, discerning the law of the Most High, will preserve the beauty that the Most High recreates in this world. Or people who will learn a law, my brothers and sisters, whereby the people redeemed shall be preserved as one and one reasoning in that law. Remember the scripture said, if you learn to, again, to reason together, he said you eat of the good of the land. Well, let me tell you something. There's a good land promised on this earth for those who will be true unto Yah. But let me tell you something. Is because man's very thoughts have been coming a very evil wind. Man's very spirit emanating corrupt ideals. has been a very wicked and lawless spirit, whereby the Most High senses the discord among men. That's the reason why you see a lot of what you see in the world today. All the tornadic all the tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, all these things were prophesied. Global warming, yes, has a lot to do with it. A lot of it is man-made. But I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. All these things were prophesied in advance. And the Most High wants to heal this world, but he wants to heal it unto a people, as I said before, who will preserve it, who will respect him and respect that the earth belongs to him and must be administered in, dwelt in, its resources dealt with carefully so as not to destroy, but so as to preserve the patterns of life. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Savior comes to save the saviors. The Savior comes to save those who will be healers to this planet and to the consciousness of mankind. And a perfect healing can only be unto the mind that is from the beginning, the spirit that is from the beginning, the very spirit that made beauty first in this world. Messiah is a, if you understand it, when the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was Yah, it relates to the initial concept upon all things, which all things were created. It's a constant harmony, and that concept is eternal, and defiance against it is death. Man must repent, my brothers and sisters, from everything that has separated the mind of man and the things of this earth from perfect harmony in the will of Yah. Man must repent for the creation of his, let's just say, his personal vanities and his imaginations. I said his vain nations. Man must repent from all these things. The people of Yah must overcome all worldliness, all vanity, to be saved, to be made one. Because being made saved is made whole after the will of Yah. Purity and completion only offers one choice. Let it be understood. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, why ask for it if you still want an impure mind, an impure perception of thought? If you still want to be filled with debate and doubt and double-mindedness, not to be able to be anything else but a deceit unto others, why do you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit? He said the worldly, this spirit of truth they will not receive. If you want to see there'll be no war, harmony throughout the earth, none hurting or destroyed throughout all the holy mountain, the kingdoms of the Most High, then you want to see knowledge cover the earth. And you want to see, I know it's going to sound hard when I say this, the putting aside of whatever stands against that knowledge. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, the nations of this earth have not sought the truth of the gospel. The gospel is a word from on high. Again, the dispensation of the gospel was after a spirit to teach all things, no lie in it. Baptizing, purging all nations of every misconceit that are in them, that they might be taught all things of the Most High unto a restoration of a planet redeemed unto the Most High himself. That's only by the Spirit of the Most High that man even comprehends that gospel or that word that is above all corruption. For in the beginning all things began at a very high place, and man has fallen to a multitude of boxes and in his contaminations and his allegiances, doesn't know how to get himself back out. Because without a reference point in the Spirit, a reference point even of Messiah coming back again, people can call themselves whatever they want to. As spirits, calling themselves a spiritual man. They can call themselves, you know, believers in Yeshua. They call themselves Messianic. They can call themselves Christian. They can call themselves Jews. They can call themselves Islamic. They can call themselves sons of Abraham. But let me tell you something. Let me be understood. The faith of Abraham is one, and it's also the same one eternal faith. And there's a foundation, believe me, that all present, all, I repeat, all present earthly administration that calls itself the people of faith, there is a foundation that all of them have by and large in a lot of ways forgotten. Believe me, I could explain what I'm talking about when I say this. There's an ancient foundation that was understood back in the times of Noah. the present administration that called themselves children of Abraham are by and large lost and forgotten. And the scripture says that foundation can be restored again in Zion. There would be no need to remember this thing if it was already present. There would be no need to restore it if it was already present. Remember, the children of Israel had to be brought out of Babylon. That means their thoughts are still corrupted in some way, though they know it not, after the ideals of Babylon, and Messiah will come to show a whole world that. Scripture says, in the time of Messiah's coming, he beheld, the Most High beheld, there was none who understood what is righteousness. Isaiah 41 going into 42, they all went in vanity. He said, behold my servant, my lift and my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. He said, he bring forth justice, what is just before Yah unto all the nations. That is the gift of his grace, the gift of the truth, that by faith in that truth, all those who believe in that truth might be made one and not corrupted after the diversitudes and pollutions of this world. A Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, can only manifest holiness. Is it not amazing that many have confessed the name of the Most High after the constraints of nations and never realized that they could never attain to the promise and the oath and the full expectation of the vision of the Spirit? And because this, they've only, the divisions of this world have remained. Sad thing. But let me tell you something, it's going to soon be understood that only those who are consecrated and true to Messiah's appearance will receive, let's just say, re-energizing of spirit, the re-strengthening of the spirit, no longer corrupting or wearying or defiling or diluting the word of Yah by their own words or their own imaginations, knowing again how not to lie. Only they, my brothers and sisters, shall be made one and sealed and vouchsafed, signed, sealed, and delivered as the people of Yah. And it is only fair that a people who are consecrated unto that higher righteousness of Yah, hey, what law would you rather be subject to? The law of Yah or something lesser? Let me tell you something. No lesser law can bring forth the beauty of the vision of the Most High and the fullness of His blessing. Anybody who would seek to denigrate or take away from the righteousness of that law also seeks to deny the kingdom becoming the place of beauty that is divine expectation. The beginning of all hatred began with men seeking not to see all divine will and all that is declared of the Most High made manifest. It's time, my brothers and sisters, to see these things. It's time to understand these things. It's time not to be left subject to the pretentiousness that others will declare. Shall Gentiles say they are baptized, washed in the Holy Spirit, under retaining any uncleanness after the allegiances to any nation not founded in the pure perfect truth? If a nation was founded upon a pure, perfect truth, my brothers and sisters, it couldn't sanction everybody's diverse idea of who is deity or what is supreme, who is supreme. It would have to recognize, it couldn't be a separation between, well, let's put it like this, the separations wouldn't exist. To be washed from the world, from the pollution of this world, be washed from the fallen conceits of the flesh. It has become the people of Yah. That is what Israel means. Stop saying that the Gentiles who receive the Holy Spirit should remain mixed up among the Gentiles. That they sit back and say that they don't seek to be restored to the heart of the Hebrew fathers. When the scripture says Messiah will come to restore the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, how are people going to call themselves the children of Abraham and they don't want the ways of Abraham, the heart of Abraham, to follow the Most High perfectly according to all that the Most High has decreed? How shall that be? Receiving the Holy Spirit and still seeking to defile the holy name. And scripture says plainly, whoever takes the holy name according to his own vanities, he shall not be counted blameless for this. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. The church called of Yah by his spirit is not a worldly, diverse, polluted, corrupted, tainted thing. The Holy Spirit cannot curse Israel. It can only restore her. I've talked before in a couple of networks. Go back to all the blogs that were spoken about through the course of this week. And I've explained how Acts, first chapter, relates without question. The Messiah spoke to his disciples about receiving the Spirit. They might go forth to the lost sheep of Israel first. Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, where the men and some of Israel were scattered to the north. Or the most parts of Israel, where Israel was scattered. To make them one again. And that is what is promised ultimately to happen in these latter days, to restore all men to one faith. How many prepared to believe this? The scripture says, "By one spirit we draw near by one spirit unto the Father." Ephesians. It says, "Salvation not according to the diverse conversation," let's say the unholy testimony of this world. "By his mercy, he shows us by his grace, his favor, the gift of the knowledge of the truth, that by one faith we might become one people, saved, delivered, healed as one." That was not an individual statement. That was a statement to Jew and Gentile in the Ephesian congregation, that they might all be of one mind. He said, if you're strange to the commonwealth of Israel, he said, you're without hope, without Messiah, and in the world. The church was an anointed class, my brothers and sisters. The people called out from the world must be called out by his spirit, because the flesh has no power to perceive that greater vision. I spoke before about how 1 Corinthians speaks about that well. Carnal mind can't see that vision. Carnal mind will only see the visions. And it said point blank in 1 Corinthians, let us not in these multitude of divisions and confusion, this vanity, see ourselves as wise before the time, until a Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things of darkness, wherever man has erred. 1 Corinthians 4. And then shall every man know how to pray to his Yah, the Most High. Messiah said, pray that always you be kind of worthy. How about pray that your prayers be a petition for the fullness of his will that you might be able to stand before the Son of Man. How many have been led to petition the Most High according to the dictates of their church, the building they created? Let me tell you something, that's not the church. True church is called by the Spirit to see the restoration of Israel. I can only tell you that some understand that some of the early people who so-called translated the scriptures, many times when the scripture said Jerusalem, or when the scripture says Jerusalem, they put their heaven so you wouldn't understand. Many times it said Israel, they put their church, but they understood that the church and the kingdom of heaven will be governed on earth from Jerusalem. They understood that, but they sought to take that away from you too. Let me tell you something. I only have a couple of seconds. I said I only have a couple of seconds, appears now, to try to hopefully clarify some of this. Remember the scripture in Revelation 2nd through 3rd, it says, "He who has ears and hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Various church denominations all declaring their partial standards. Nations declaring their partial standards. Denominations, whole denominations declaring their partial standards. Entire social and cultural differences declaring their differences have all in their partialities been obstacles against men hearing Yah himself. And the Most High has a controversy with his people. Read and understand it for what it really says in Hosea 4th chapter. Because what is actually there relates to the idea that the Most High is quite a bit upset that men are listening to everybody else but him. Hosea 11:5-7 says the same. They take counsel together among themselves, and none at all exalt him. My people are damned for lack of knowledge, vulnerable to every manner of deceiver, for the multitude of their priests, according to the multitude of them, so have they spoken lies against him. Mixed with Gentiles, read that in Hosea 7. Wearied to the point of gray hair, they know it not. Let me tell you something. Every partial standard that stands against the greater knowledge of the truth shall face the wrath of Yah. What is happening in the world today, when we see all these calamities, is the Most High saying that these things will continue until man is ready to repent and return to him. The ensign, the Savior, will soon be evident before all that those who confess his name call upon the name of the Most High. For he has that name. He is the Son of Yah. That ensign will be revealed before all so very soon. And it's only those who are consecrated seeking the Holy Spirit to attain to his righteousness revealed and restored again will become that people that the Most High is pleased with to call his own, that they remain as his children, true to his covenant forever. My question to ask, my brothers and sisters, who's prepared for this? But when the Messiah comes to restore all things, according to all things spoken by the prophets as the world began, according to Acts, it's only those who are willing to hear all his word that will not be cut off, but shall be redeemed. Acts 3:18-23. I only got about 14 seconds left. Boy, time sure moves fast. And I still got much more I can tell you. But my name is Adam Yah of Covenant and Remembrance Ministries. Till we speak again, I thank you for listening. Yah bless. Shalom. Baraka. And Yah bless you all.
Make it hurt. You live alone.